Amen. And we appreciate your involvement this morning. I'm going to bring this guy on. And met him in 1997. That's a few days ago. And I don't think anybody's had more of an impact in my life than this handsome gentleman that's coming on soon. Oh, there he is. Gary, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Boy, I'll tell you what, if anything, you've gotten better looking since the last time I saw you.
again, I say the check is in the mail.
You've been looking for that check forever.
Since 1997.
Oh, man, we love you. You're one of the fathers of this church, and so you just take your liberty this morning and just teach and preach as long. Gary has got a series right now, many of you know, Recoding the Brain. I don't know. He may not say anything about that this morning, but it is having an impact in my life like nothing else, and I appreciate it so much. Gary, we love you, and the church is yours. God bless. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you clarified that about the old people, that we're not being kicked to the curb. Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. All right. Good deal. Always checking for correction, you know. Speaking of recoding the brain, I've already recorded, I think, today, the message that's being released today at our YouTube channel and at the website is the last. It's number 18 in that series. And to be honest with you, I've already recorded the first lesson in the next series, because recoding the brain is learning how to do it. But what we're wanting to recode our brain to is to the renewed mind, so that we have the mind of Christ, so that we think like him, talk like him, act like him, and have the same results that he said we should have. And actually, this service today is going to incorporate very much the same things that I taught in the first lesson on, I'm calling it Believing Jesus, and I'll tell you why I'm calling it that in just a minute. I do want to say thank you to Pastor Bronk and Candy, as always, for inviting me to come. We used to get to come down every year, but circumstances have changed, and we're not able to do that. I believe they'll change again, and we'll be able to come. I would love that more than you know. My other goal is to keep Tony Sakar up until about 4 in the morning, Australian time. So we love you, Tony. Keep it up down there, man. I know there's others watching. I think Anthony Boney is probably watching, if he's not at work or something. Well, on Sunday, he's probably preaching. That's right. He's got his own church. Okay. He'll watch later. All right. The first service I did at the beginning of the year, I don't know exactly the title, but I read from a prophecy that the Lord spoke right about the beginning of the year, saying, this is the year of believing. I'm not going to read that prophecy again. It's available to you. Along with the service that's still at Bronk's website. But he talked about, this is the year of believing, and for us to start expecting instant manifestations. Now, Sue and I are with you virtually every service there in Immokalee. We're bona fide members. I often counsel Bronk, said, please don't let anybody sit in our chairs. You know, we're there best we can be. So we were with you Friday night during the healing summit. We were with you through the prayer lines. We were believing with all that we know how, just like you're believing with all you know how. We all wanted to see instant manifestations, and there were some that obviously we did not see the instant manifestation. Now, our job is to leave the gospel right where Jesus said it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that he is the mark. He is the pattern, that we look unto Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he said in John 14, 12, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater than these, because I'm going to the Father. Well, we're going to talk about that some today. So when we don't see instant manifestations, even though he said expect instant manifestations, the tendency in humans is to start lowering the standard. You know, and the church at large has done that. The denomination I grew up in, and I love them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against anybody that's preaching Christ and Him crucified. Thank God. But they, because of not seeing instant manifestations when they pray, then they've developed some doctrines that are just not true. Like, well, it just, you know, we prayed. We know we prayed in faith. We know we prayed in faith, but that person didn't get healed. Therefore, here comes the false doctrine. It must not always be God's will to heal. Well, I have a problem with that. Because years ago, I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John intensively, John, on purpose, to find out, is that true? And here's what, I encourage you to do the same thing, but you're going to come to the same result. Here's what you're going to find. There's not a single person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that ever came to Jesus for healing that they did not get what they came for. And that even included some people who were not Jews, like the Roman centurion and the Syrophoenician woman, that, you know, for her daughter. So we're going to leave the mark right where Jesus left it. He said, if you want to know the Father, if you want to know the Father, look at him, look at Jesus. Well, what do we see? He healed them all. Now, you know, I have a message that you've heard me teach where I stay in the book of Matthew and we look at seven different meetings and we stay in the book of Matthew so we know we're not duplicating a meeting like over in Luke or John or something. Some of them were huge meetings where multiple thousands were there. Some of them were home meetings, like at Peter's house, you know, or Peter's mother-in-law. Didn't matter. Big meeting, small meeting, here's what you're going to find. It'll either say he healed them all, or it'll say something like they brought all sick to him and he healed them. Healed them who? Healed them all that they brought. So either way, he healed them all who came to him. What does it tell us about the Father? It's always His will to heal. Always. Boy, I've been not slapped physically, but I have been slapped verbally for preaching that sometimes. Not in our circles so much, but every now and then when I'm sharing with people from other circles. Boy. See, because what that does, that indicts your faith. Remember how I started it off, the denomination I grew up in, they said, well, we prayed in. I'm kind of exaggerating, but basically the attitude is, we know we prayed in faith, yet we did not see God heal them. Therefore, it must not always be God's will to heal. No. If you want to know God's will, look at Jesus. He healed them all, first time, every time, no exceptions, not a single one. It is His will to heal. The problem is not with God's willingness to heal. The problem is we're not believing correctly. The problem was on our end with our faith. Now, Dave, when he would teach along these lines, Pastor Dave, he would say, well, that's good news, really, because God's not going to change. His word is not going to change. And really, the devil's not going to change. But the good news is we can change. Well, hallelujah. Thank God for mortification and transformation. Thank God for Pastor Dave laying the foundation for anybody that wants to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that we're no longer conformed to this world, but we literally think with the mind of Christ, where we think like Him, talk like Him, act like Him, and have the same results He had. And that's exactly what's coming. So hang on. Now, the title of this lesson, and really, again, this is going to be pretty much the same lesson that I've already taught, the first one, on the Believing Jesus series. It'll be posted probably next Sunday. This all began for me, of course, it really began way back in 1992 when Sue and I first began attending the prayer center. We had been saved and spirit-filled for 12 years at that point, and we had already been involved in all kinds of ministry. We had been involved in prison ministry, various outreach programs, you know, Feed the Hungry, clothe the naked, street witnessing, knocking on doors, just all kinds of things for 12 years. we had seen some good results. We could pray in tongues, but now we didn't very often spend much time praying in tongues because we really, nobody had ever taught us there was any reason to do that. So that was kind of the condition that we were in when we first started hearing Pastor Dave. And I don't want to over exalt him, but it was like, never man spake like this man. It was, oh my God. We started listening to the revelation knowledge of Pastor Dave. And I mean, he was teaching miles over our heads, you know, and we'd go and we'd listen. And Dave was not only full of revelation knowledge, but he was full of the Lord. There was laughter, there was joy, there was love. But still, the things he taught when we first attended were like way above us. You know, we'd be driving home, you know, and had a great service. We felt the love of God. We laughed, we cried. And I look, but we didn't understand hardly anything, you know. And I look over at Sue and I'd go, we're driving home. And I said, are you better? She goes, yeah. I go, me too, but I don't know why. But over time, you know, one person described it one time, they were fairly new coming to the prayer center. And I said, well, how are you doing? What's it like? You know, and she said, have you ever tried to get a drink from a fire hydrant? It's kind of like so much revelation. But see, over time, if you stay with it, your mind begins to renew and you begin to understand. And oh my God, the things that you understand, and it changes your life. And we're still in that process all these years later. But I'm telling you, we're getting really close to some things. We're getting really close to some things. So I had been, you know, we had started attending the prayer center in 1992. And after a few years, by 1997, that was the first year that Dave asked me to speak at the conference. Now, I'd already spoken a few times just to the congregation in a regular service. And again, that's because Pastor Dave had watched me and talked with me and counseled me and trusted me to handle the word at there. So that's when I first met Pastor Bronk and Jim Martin both, along with a lot of other people. Kudos to your pastor and Pastor Jim that through all, you know, Dave said, there's a handful that will make it past the devil's beatings. Well, your pastor is one of those, and Jim Martin is one of those, and Tony Sicar and Anthony Boney and others, and many others, I'm not leaving anybody out on purpose, are that handful. And we've had our share of the beatings, still sometimes, but we're just not going to stop, you know. My dad trained me to have no quitting sense, and I just don't have any, and I'm glad about that. Dave said he thought in the beginning that God called him because of his super high intellect. He said he found out later it's just because he's persistent. God knew I wouldn't quit, and that's what he was looking for. So praise God. Well, so anyway, Pastor Dave asked me to start teaching, and I began teaching at the church. Oh, I better look at my watch for your salvation. Okay. And Tony's. Okay. So I'm just preaching away. Dave would have me do the calling in the lost services on Sunday nights. I'm glad to see that you're still doing that. And I did it for over 20 years. And we're still going to see every word come to pass. Every single word come to pass. And I think it was at a Sunday night service now. It's been so long ago. But I can tell you when it was. And I'm going to start referring to some notes here. Mainly so I don't leave something out that he wants included in this lesson. The title of this lesson is just going to be titled, I Want to Be Believed. That's something Jesus said. I'm about to tell you about it. But on August 14th, 2016, so that's a while after I'd been ministering. I'd already been to Immokalee several times. I'd already been to Dayton several times. And been, my goodness, around the world, really. I'd been to Africa. I had been to Korea. I'm just preaching away on a Sunday night, just doing what I do. I'm standing there at the Family Prayer Center, got the podium right in front of me, got my same paper Bible that's been around the world with me. open there on the podium, and I'm just preaching away. I don't remember what the lesson was that night, just doing what I do. Now, I saw a vision that nobody else saw, and I know they didn't see it because they didn't react. But to me, it was, I know it's a vision now. I wasn't really sure then. But to me, I saw Jesus, just plain as day, walk through the, over to my right. I saw him just walk through the back wall of the church, just walk right into the auditorium like yours there. And I'd have to watch that video again. Well, I don't even know if we had video. Anyway, I don't remember whether I turned my head or not. I probably did, because to me, I thought everybody might see him. It was that real, but they didn't. But he just walked right over, stood right next, kind of to my right, right next to the podium. He put his finger right down on the Bible. Now, not on a specific verse. He meant the word. And he said this, "I want to be believed." And then he disappeared. He was gone. Well, I don't know if I mentioned that or not during that service, but boy, it had an impact on me. I know I finished the service and for days that kept going over in me. And to be honest, that's the reason I'm checking my notes once in a while. You see me look down to get bullet points mostly. See, I thought I already was believing. It shocked me a little bit when he said that. I want to be believed. And I'm thinking, we are believers. Isn't that what we call ourselves, believers? Isn't that what believers do? I kind of thought, we thought we were believing. And it's not that we're not believing to a certain extent. But he's talking about believing at a higher level than where we are believing now even. And the verse that came to mind was John 14:12. I know I mentioned it once. This time I want to read it so I don't miss a word out of it. John 14:12 says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you," and notice how it starts off, "he that believeth on me," that's the key, "he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Well, now, the works that I do, that sounds like the same works to me, doesn't it to you? The works that I do. And one year, I don't know that I've really taught this at Immokalee yet or not, but one year he emphasized the word he instead of they. See, he could have said it this way, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, they that believe on me." He could have said it that way. And it's not wrong, really, because they is a bunch of he's or individuals. But I know now he worded it that way because it's a personal promise, male or female, to anyone, any individual who will believe. They're going to do the same works. Hello, Joel's Army. Hello. Any individual, anybody that believes on me, they're going to do the same works. Well, the qualification there is "he that believeth on me." And see, Jesus gave us a good example, well, many good examples, but when it comes to believing or not believing, now again, I'm just going to allude to this. We have, if we get deep into the word, we'll never make it to all of the things he wants to say today. In the King James, it calls him the lunatic son. You remember that father that brought his lunatic son to the disciples? Jesus was not present at the moment. He had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. So at the moment when this father brought his son, he brought him to the disciples that were there, and they had been casting out devils. They had a track record. That's why he brought them. I mean, you know, the word had spread. Listen, hey, if you got somebody sick or possessed with a devil, if you take them to these disciples of Jesus, they'll cast that thing out. And obviously he had heard that. So he was believing to the point that he brought his lunatic son to the disciples so they could cast it out. Now, if you combine Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look at all of the symptoms, all of the circumstances that this devil was manifesting through that boy, it was something else. You have to get all of them together to see everything. But it says he couldn't talk, not in articulate speech, but he could moan and cry out. Can you imagine what that would sound like, a demon speaking through a human voice? It said he pined away. You look that up, and it means he had no appetite. I bet he looked like a skeleton with skin stretched over. Said that devil would just throw him down into the fire. You know, just all of a sudden, he'd just go rolling through the campfire, said it would throw him into the water like it's just going to kill him, you know. It said he would foam at the mouth and wallow. And I'm convinced that those circumstances, because of all of that going on, it affected the disciples, because they had a track record of casting out devils. They'd done it before. But when they tried to cast this one out, they couldn't. Now, here again, if the story ended right there, we might have ammunition for that argument that says, well, see there, it's just not always God's will to heal, because Jesus had given these disciples authority over all devils, and they did their best. They had cast out devils before, and they tried to cast this one out, but it's just not always God's will for you know, everybody to be healed. But thank God the story doesn't stop there. Jesus comes on the scene. He says, he finds out what's happening. And I don't know if Jesus did eye rolls or not, but it's when he finds out what's going on, it's almost like, how long am I going to have to do this for you? How long am I going to have to put up with this? You bring that boy here to me. Now, what's interesting, that devil tried the same tactic on Jesus that it did on the disciples. When it says when they brought the lunatic boy to Jesus, it threw him on the ground, and he wallowed, and he foamed, and he moaned, and all of the same things, trying to affect Jesus by what he saw, the same way he had affected the disciples. But Jesus wasn't moved by any of that. He cast that devil out, and it came out. And it tore him. Now, you know, it said it tore that boy, whatever that means exactly, and he probably cried out, and he laid so still when that devil came out, they thought he was dead. But he wasn't dead. Jesus raised him up. Now, privately afterwards, the disciples came to Jesus because they were kind of in the same condition that I'm describing when I said, I thought I was believing. It's because they came to Jesus. They didn't know why when they prayed that devil didn't come out, because before, every time they had cast out a devil, that devil came out every time. So they didn't know why. So they come to Jesus. And if you want to look at this, it's Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21. We don't really have time. It's real familiar to you anyway. And by the way, if your Bible doesn't have verse 21, a lot of new versions don't. If it doesn't, I kind of recommend another Bible. I used to have one that didn't have it. It's not in my house anymore. Anyway. So Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21, they're asking, they don't know. See, the point is, they think they are believing. They think they are. They've got a track record of believing. Well, we've cast out devils before. What's going on here, Jesus? Why didn't it happen when we prayed? Boy, he didn't mince any words with them. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, why did Jesus use the analogy of a mountain right there? Through the circumstances, the wallowing, the foaming, the cries that came out, through all of those manifestations, that devil had convinced the disciples he was some big bad devil that they couldn't cast out. And Jesus is going, if you have faith, if you just believe the authority that I gave you, all you need to believe is the word when I told you, I give you authority, power to cast out devils. With that, that's all you need. And with that, you can move a mountain, much less any devil. To God, I'm about to have a running fit. Glory to God. But he said, now this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And he's not talking, he's just made the point, it's not because it's a big bad devil. You could move a mountain with the authority Jesus gives us. No. That big, that devil was not, this wasn't the bigness of the devil that was the problem. It was the bigness of their unbelief. So when he said, this kind cometh not out, he's not talking about that devil, really. He's talking about that kind of unbelief. Well, now we're back to prayer and fasting. Have you ever heard of a message of mortification and edification to build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost? And then, like Pastor Dave would say, kick in some the afterburners by throwing in some fasting with that, see? He's really prophesying into once they're born again and they get filled with the Spirit. But anyway, that's far enough. The point is, we're not the only ones. Or I'll just keep it with Gary. He's always kind of mean to me and nice to you. When he said that, I want to be believed. It was a little bit of a reprimand, you know. Like, well, Jesus, I thought I was believing. Well, they thought they were believing. But they were moved by the circumstances more than they realized they were. I wonder how much we still are too, you know. Well, I kept meditating on that vision where Jesus said that and how he said it. I want to be believed. And then over the years, it's been a while, that was 2016. And I kept with that in my mind when I would read certain passages, like the one we just read there in John 14:12. If you believe, you're going to do the same works. And there's others like, like there with the disciples, they thought they were believing, but they didn't do the same works. Jesus had to do it for them. It dawned on my lightning quick mind one day. Jesus, what you call believing and what we call believing are just two different things. It's just not the same. We think having knowledge of the scripture is believing. But obviously believing is more than that to you. See, I get to thinking about all of the modern, now not just ours. I think, you know, Sue and I are with you every Sunday, every Wednesday, and we're right there with you. And what's amazing, you know, I don't know if you know it, but we own a jet called the Internet. That's right on the side of our jet, Internet. And as soon as the service ends in Immokalee, we hop on our jet and we're in Dayton, Ohio, and we finish up over there with Jim and his church, you know. It's amazing. And so, you know, we're in lots of services, and I think these are the best, really, I do. But there's lots of churches, not of our camp, can I say it that way, where they love Jesus and they're believers in the sense that they've been born again. They're trusting in the blood, and many of them even spirit filled. And I know the Lord is pleased. I mean, he said, you can't even, two of you can't gather together in my name where I'm not there with you. I mean, I know it pleases the Lord. And I'm not talking about just our services, but many of the, even the denomination I grew up in, they would argue with me on 90% of what we preach, but still they preach Christ and him crucified and these old hardened Shawnee boys, womanizers and hard drinkers. They come in there and they're still getting saved today. My daddy got saved in that church and his daddy got saved in that church. And the story around Shawnee is my dad was the meanest SOB to ever come out of Shawnee, Oklahoma. But my daddy got radically saved, and so did his daddy. His daddy was a moonshiner during the Prohibition days. My grandpa, that's the one you went to get your moonshine back in Prohibition. But he was known as a womanizer back in those days. Well, thank God both of them got saved, and their lives completely turned around. Neither one of them got spirit-filled, but boy, they loved Jesus, and I have no doubt they're with the Lord today. And I'm saying all that to say this. I do not want to belittle the services that are going on, not only in America, but around the world. Listen, if you ever get to go like I have the privilege of going to Korea or Africa or even by Zoom now, Brazil, Australia, where I'm telling you, God's got a lot of people that love him around the world. And I know those church services please him. But I've wondered, you know, because I know he's watching worldwide now, not just our services, and he's watching. I know the worship pleases him when it's coming from the heart. Big church or little church, doesn't matter. People pray. they ought, you know, and hopefully they're giving from the heart. They give of their hard-earned cash because they want to see the gospel go forward and more people get saved and healed and fed and all of the good things of the gospel. There's so much of what we do, I know, that pleases the Lord with every church service. But with him watching, see, I still wonder at the end of it what he thinks, because way too often, you know, we wheelchair people into the service. We do everything that we do. And then we wheelchair them out to their car at the end of the service. Would he call that a Jesus meeting? Now, don't get me wrong. I know he's pleased. I know he loves us. He appreciates. But come on now. If he was running that meeting himself with his own body again back on planet Earth, which, by the way, we're his own body now. But if he was doing it himself in his own body, you're not going to wheel anybody out of there. You're not going to wheelchair nobody out of there. They're all, because he doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They're all going to get healed. Instant manifestation, first time, every time, no exceptions. So, again, that's the mark. And we are determined. Bronk, I get to talk with Bronk and Jim and Tony, my mind. If I forget names, forgive me. I'm more in the spirit than I am in my mind right now. But we have all agreed. We are not going to lower the mark. We're not going to start with any doctrine that excuses or makes apology really for our unbelief. Let's just call it what it is. We're works in progress and we're not there yet. Even the Apostle Paul, this encourages me, because here's a man that raised the dead and, you know, he laid hands on people and they got healed and himself rose from the dead once, I think, after he got stoned at Lystra and stripes and all of the stuff that he did. And he says about himself, he says, I don't count myself to have arrived. He says, I'm still pressing toward the mark, but he does say this. Now, where we have attained, let's walk there. In other words, let's don't backslide. Where we have attained, let's stay there, but let's keep pressing towards that mark, right where Jesus left it. Well, that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. So over these years, I've been acknowledging the fact, Lord, I have to agree with you. I am a believer, but I'm not believing to the level that you expect me to believe. I'm kind of like the father that father that brought his lunatic son. Because he was saying, basically, he says, I believe. In other words, if I wasn't believing at all, I wouldn't have brought my boy here. I heard about your power working through these disciples. So I believed enough to bring him here. But he says, Jesus helped my unbelief. And didn't he? Didn't the Lord do that for him? Sure did. That's a good prayer, by the way. When you come to the end of your believing, say, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, Peter walked on the water until he got to looking around at other things in the word. And when he began to sink, he had a good prayer. Save me, Jesus. And he did. It's a good prayer. Okay. So there's been, for Gary personally, there's been lots of prayer, lots of fasting, lots of meditation of the word, lots of worship over these years, trying to believe at the level that I see that the Lord wants us believing, where we're doing the same works. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's no indictment. I'm in this with all of you. I hope you can feel that. We're all together. But see, when Jesus runs the meeting, the blind leave seeing. The deaf leave hearing. If they're missing an appendage of any kind, the maimed, they're made whole. And that happens while we watch. Because they were amazed when they saw. That means it happened while they watched. Those meetings, we are very close. That's why he told us at the beginning of the year, expect instant manifestations. Expect them. And we are expecting them. But now on this subject, where I said to him, and it's just something you put up before him, I said, Lord, I know now that what you call believing and what we call believing are two different things. Help me. Help me with my unbelief. Well, in September of last year, it was September 18th of 2024. Again, I was just doing what I always do. I was in my prayer time in the morning. God, at my station in life now, I don't have any children in the house to take care of. We don't have any pets now to take care of. I don't even have a goldfish. God has provided our needs to the point I don't have to punch a clock from 9 to 5. See, I have no excuses. My time pretty much is His. And if I don't pray, God help me, because it's I'm a steward. And so I have time to pray. So there's no indictment now. I'm just telling you, at my place in life where I am, He's given me space to pray. And I'll just let you know this. The first hour of prayer, I play the blueprint. And most of you know what I mean by that. That's those first 10 prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk. And they're available at his website. They're even available at Dave Roberson Ministries website. And DaveRoberson.org. But I have it on my phone. I saved, downloaded it and saved it. The first hour, because I don't want to lose that, see. So the first hour of prayer, and again, I don't mean any intimidation by that. It's just the station in life where He's got me. Maybe you have 15 minutes. If you've got kids and pets and a husband and going to work, and dear Lord, you know, I'm just trying to teach, okay? I'm trying to share. I only have my life to share with you, so that's my practice. So I listen to that on my phone. I just play it while I'm praying. Now, right now, the second hour, this is new. This Brock, I don't think, even knows this. Well, just recently, I heard the Lord say, that second hour of prayer, I want you to listen to every prophecy that has come through the prayer center at Immokalee. I want you to listen to those in sequence the second hour. Well, those are all available in MP3 format at bronkflint.org. So I just started doing that. And I just play the first one, praying in tongues, you know, listen. Play the second one. You do that for a little while, you're going to find out something. Including the one that came through the lady. Okay. It's just as much a word of God as any of the others. When you play those in sequence, a pattern begins to develop. You're going to see that the Lord is sequentially teaching us and leading us into more believing, more manifestation than we've ever had before. I highly recommend it to you. If you haven't done it, just start with the first one of 2025. Just play them while you pray or in your car. But a pattern begins to emerge. Okay, getting back to this, what time is it? Okay, we're doing okay. Bronk made me promise to have you out by 4 o'clock, and I will. So. Teasing. Don't run out. Anyway, so this happened on September 18th last year. I was just doing what I do, praying and listening, praying. And now, during the rest of the time that I pray, once I get through listening to the MP3s, I pray and then I listen. I pray and then I listen. It's exactly what Dave taught in distinguishing God's voice. And sometimes I do ask the Lord, if possible, Lord, I'd like to have the interpretation of what I'm praying. I'd like to know what You're saying to me. Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth, you know, whatever. And sometimes He does. And this day was one of those days. Now, the main verse I had been studying right at that season was Jeremiah 33:3. A lot of people call that God's phone number because it starts off saying, call unto me. How would I call unto you? Jeremiah 33:3. Okay. God says there, He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. That's a promise. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, I'd been meditating on that one. And all of a sudden He began to speak. Because I'd had this thing up before Him. What you call believing and what we call believing are two different things. I need to know the difference. And how do we go from where we are to where what you call believing? But He just began to speak to me and He said this, quote, believing is recoding the mind. It is a biological, physical disconnecting of old neuropaths and a reconnecting of new neuropaths. He said, repetition is a major key, exactly the same way that you learn the alphabet and the multiplication tables and everything else that you have learned. The process is precisely the same. And he says, this is how you go from unbelief to believing. Then he said to me this last statement, rewind all the way back to the words document. Now, I know what that is. That's something he said, some things he said to me back in 1986 and 1987. They came very fragmented, is the reason I haven't made that document available, because it came over a period of time. But the principles, I've got them all. So when he says what he's saying, I know exactly what he's talking about. And I want to be teaching from that again in this new series, Believing Jesus. You're going to get everything he said to me. But rewind all the way back to that document, the words document that I originally gave you. And upon that foundation is how you rebuild your belief system. Upon that foundation is how you rebuild your belief system to align with my belief system. I remember years ago, he said to me, when you believe what I already believe, that's called faith. Simplest definition of faith I ever heard. When you believe what I already believe, that's called faith. Well, he's going to get us there, isn't he? Hallelujah. Well, see, that statement there, that's really what launched this 18-part lesson that I just, or series that I just did called Recoding the Brain. And I did some research in the natural, read some scientific books on the brain. I listened to a series that Jim Martin taught at Tulsa Conference a few years ago, where he talked about dendrites. I don't know how many of you remember the dendrites message that Pastor Jim did. I went back and listened to all of those and got some notes from that. And that's what launched that series. And like Bronk said, it's been affecting him. Me too. Okay. It's been affecting me, and I'm understanding it more and more. Well, right in the middle of my series, I'm still teaching that Recoding the Brain series, Jim Martin comes to Immokalee. You know, he comes every February and does a series there, and it's always great. It's always important. It's always good. And I'm going to read this paragraph, so I say it just like I wrote it here. As I was in the middle of teaching that series, Pastor Jim Martin came to Immokalee, and he taught a series that he titled Kingdom Law. Kingdom Law. Well, I watched every service. I was right there with you. I thought they were excellent, as Jim's messages always are. I think of myself as being a good student, and I paid attention, and I learned. And I thought I had gleaned what I should have from those teachings. Okay? Thought I was, great job, Jim. Attaboy. You know, pat on the back. Good job. I got it. Uh-huh. But then one day, while in prayer... See, here's that prayer thing again. Well, I'm just doing what I do, and I know Bronk does and Jim does. We're just, mainly praying in the Spirit. We have English prayers, but it's mainly praying in the Spirit. One day while in prayer, after Jim had finished that conference, the Holy Spirit told me to go back and read again the prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk on February 15th. Which I believe was the first Wednesday night service. I believe it was the Sunday morning service. And right before Jim began to teach, the Lord spoke through Pastor Bronk. Now, see, that hits me strong, because I know that we don't share with each other ahead of time what we're going to teach, even at a conference. So when this word came through Pastor Bronk, he didn't know what Jim was going to teach. He didn't know what was coming. So that prophecy is available at Bronk's website. And the title of that one, if you want to look it up, is I Am Equipping You for the Harvest Ahead. I Am Equipping You for the Harvest Ahead. If you want to look it up later. Not right now, please. It is an amazing prophecy that speaks specifically about this coming great harvest, this revival that we're all right on the edgewater of. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a little bit long. But in it, when now the Holy Spirit tells me to go read it again, I read it, and I'm going to read to you certain portions of it. Now, if you can see this, you'll see that in this, there are certain sentences that I bolded and underlined because the Holy Spirit emphasized them to me when I'm reading that prophecy again. So when I read them here, I'm going to speak on that part, bold and underlined. So you'll know, okay, this is an emphasis here, what the Holy Spirit was telling me. Quote, "For I have brought even to pass these meetings," talking about Jim Martin's meetings. This is all coming through Bronk. "For I brought even to pass these meetings in particular this week for the rest of your training." What? "And building upon you these things that you'll hear through the one that comes to speak, for I'll train you in the last portion of this." Emphasize, bold. "For even the things that I'll be speaking to you now and the remainder of this week will build in the mature a place that is necessary for me to rest on you this great harvest." He used the word necessary. "And you'll not crack. This won't crack. The foundation will not crack. It'll not split." And this is all bold and underlined. This right here. "You will take authority in the Spirit and drive out devils over this region through the things that you'll hear." And he's talking about those meetings that Jim taught. That's not just authority to cast a devil out of a boy. That's authority to cast the devil out of your region. And he said it's in those lessons that Jim taught. And I'm going, I don't remember hearing that. What? Okay. I want to start that again because there's still bolding and underlining here. "You'll take authority in the Spirit and drive out devils over this region through the things that you'll hear. Be very attentive," says the Spirit of grace, "to the things that you will hear the man of God speak." And he's talking about Jim Martin and those meetings. "For many things will touch your heart." Now get this, bold and underlined. "Many things will touch your heart individually and grow you up a measure so that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How many of you remember? Okay, there's more to come, but my job is to follow. How many of you remember a message that Pastor Bronk delivered? It might have been 2 years ago now. I don't remember exactly, but the title was something like "The Warfare Has Changed." And the focus was not exactly so much now on mortification, because many who had been at it a long time had done a lot of mortification. But he said that, so the enemy's changing tactics, and there's going to be 7 specific demonic attacks against the body of Christ. I don't have all 7 of them with me right here to read them, but I remember the first one. And the very first one was a spirit of infirmity. Well, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, that was a true word from God. And not in many households, many that are pressing. And I mean, some that you would call generals, that's been at this a long time. Warfare has come, the caliber, the intensity of which has not been seen before. And without this strengthening, there's a chance that we wouldn't stand against the wiles of the enemy. See, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, So why? So you can stand. When you've done all to stand, stand therefore. Okay. So he's saying in those, I'm reading this prophecy again. It came through Bronk, and I'm realizing he's saying there's things in those messages that Pastor Jim taught that we're going to need individually to grow us up individually, a measure, so that we can stand against the wiles, the attacks of the devil. "For he will blow upon your foundation in the days ahead." I have found that to be true. "But you will be fine, and you will stand strong and in great peace. But I call you to mind, says the Spirit of grace, that these meetings are not just, there's a comma there, there was a pause, these meetings are not just, and the things that you'll hear are not just as you've been accustomed to on More Sound Doctrine, which they will be, for the purpose of the hearing of the saints. But I am asking an army, a Joel's army, to be equipped. And he's saying that equipping, a big part of it, is in those lessons that Jim Martin taught. He says, for what my heart is, and my heart is the harvest, says the Spirit of grace. Well, we know that's true. His heart is always the harvest, to seek and save the lost. That is the overall mission, no matter what you're calling in the body of Christ. You might be a, you say, all I do is answer the phone at the church. That's all I do. I don't care. Your part is necessary, for the overall mission is to seek and to save the lost. I'm a teacher. I'm not a street evangelist. But all of us doing our part is about seeking and saving the lost. His heart is the harvest. Well, again, I took that as a, since he told me to read that and he emphasized those things, I took it as sort of a personal rebuke. Like, you just thought you were a good student. You just thought you paid attention. You didn't give those lessons the attention they deserved. And I want to read this next paragraph. I hope you guys are okay. But some things are so important, I just don't want to leave anything out. See, I knew I heard that prophecy online when it came through Pastor Bronk, but I must admit, it did not hit me with the force that it did after the Holy Spirit told me to read it again. See, I know that Bronk had no idea what Jim was going to teach when those words from God came through him. He didn't know what Jim was going to say. He didn't even know the subject, as far as I know. And if he did know the subject, he sure didn't know the details of what Jim was going to teach that week. But the Holy Spirit did. And I realized I had not given those lessons that Jim taught the diligence that I should have. So I went back. I listened to each one, and I did it the way I do when I'm a good student. I get it going on YouTube where I can pause it after every sentence or whatever I need. And I have my Word document, the Word application running. And I'm making notes. And I listen and I make notes. And I listen and I pause and I make notes. I did that for all of them. This time, making sermon notes along the way to make sure I didn't miss anything. Now, what did the Holy Spirit say in this prophecy was his purpose for sending Jim to teach us those lessons? I'm just going to summarize. Number one, it's all about the great harvest and this end time revival. Number two, it is for our final training in preparation for the harvest. Number three, these teachings are necessary. The Holy Spirit used the word necessary for the Holy Spirit in order to rest on us to stand the attacks. Number four, he said, we will develop regional authority to drive out devils using those truths that Jim came to teach. And we are to be very attentive to the lessons. Number six, these teachings will grow us up individually, another measure, so that we will be able to stand against every wile of the devil. Number seven, this is individual equipping for every soldier in Joel's army. And again, I conclude where I started. It's all about the great harvest and this revival that is on God's heart. See that number seven where it's the individual equipping of every soldier. I thought about my dad in World War II. He's just a soldier. He made it up to sergeant. But started off as a private, of course. I was thinking, boy, I'm glad the Army gave my dad a gun. I'm glad the Army provided my dad some ammunition. I'm glad they sent meals. I'm glad they gave him a helmet and a uniform and all of the things, And a battle plan and everything that was needed so my dad could withstand the attack of the enemy. And he's telling us, see, I didn't take it serious enough. I didn't understand when I first heard those lessons. He is equipping us. He said those lessons, there's truths in those lessons for the equipping of every soldier. Listen, in Joel's army, every one of you is going to have an M16 or an AR-15, whatever's good today. I'm not a big gun guy, but anyway, every one of us, you need a helmet. You need rations. You need boots. You need our individual equipping, because it's just as serious as the Battle of the Bulge, and it's life and death. People are going to be in heaven or hell for eternity, and our equipping is important for that war. God. When I re-listen to those lessons, there is so much more than I heard the first time. It's almost like I didn't hear them at all. I mean, I recognized parts of it, but we all listened. We got something out of it. I know we all did, but when I went back through there this time and really paying attention and listening and asking the Holy Ghost to help me glean every nugget, there were so many things in there that I've just missed. I'm just going to give you two examples. Now, Jim did not use the words recoding in any of those lessons, you know, like recoding the brain. But did you know that in one of those lessons, he taught in fine detail God's method of recoding the brain of unsaved persons in the Old Testament so that they could function in the kingdom of God that was available to them at the time? In fine detail, God said, here's how I want you to, we would say now, recode your brain so that you can walk like I need you to walk. That's in one of those lessons, in fine detail, how God told him to do it. Which one of the lessons? You go make your own notes. Seriously. My first thought, because this is what I always do, is I make everything just available for free. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just make my notes, you know. And the Lord said, I want them to make their own notes. They won't be the same. They need to go back and go through it themselves, where I can speak to them. And I will, individually. They'll get different things out of it than you got. Anyway. The second thing, but I missed that the first time. I didn't realize this time when I went through it, I said, dear God, he's recoding their brain. That's exactly what he's doing. Okay, number two. Second thing that I just didn't even hear it the first time through. In that final lesson, I shouldn't have told you that part. But anyway, in the final lesson that Jim taught, he gave a warning that is so subtle to the body of Christ that most people are involved in it and don't even realize they're involved in it. It's subtle. You don't even realize you're really doing it. But as long as you continue to do it, it'll absolutely. Glad you all love me. It will absolutely diminish your capacity to believe on him the way he wants. You won't be able to do it. And the key to that is in that last lesson. It's so, so serious. So I wrote on here, want my notes? Nope. There are many other powerful truths in that series besides just those two. Those are just two that I missed the first time. And I put on here for a love offering. No. No, he really told me not to make it available. Because you need to go through it again yourself. And anyway, I don't know if you have time like I do to go through it the way I did. But you can play it again. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The MP3s are available too. You can play it in your car. Play it while you're doing dishes. Play it. You can hear them again if you want to. And ask the Lord to help you. And have something available where every now and then when you get a nugget, don't lose it. Go write it down on something. Record it. You know, every phone practically these days has a record option. You could just record it and then type it up later or something. Now, these truths that he showed me by going through Jim's again, how we doing? What time is it there? 11:30 something? Okay, we're doing all right. Well, once he showed me that, and I saw these truths that are absolutely essential for the next part of our training, then I knew that the Recoding the Brain series was coming to an end. In fact, the lesson that is released today is number 18, and that's going to be the final lesson because that series taught us a lot about how to do it and what happens when we do it and how it affects the natural brain. And the goal of that series is to bring the natural brain in cooperation with your spiritual mind of Christ. Because your brain really is the servant that should be running alongside. Your spirit man is the one on the horse getting direction from God. And the natural man, the soul, is supposed to be like a good servant. It'll never understand that. The natural soul will never believe it's possible for a human being to walk on water. It just won't ever believe that. It's foolishness to the natural man. But you know what it can believe? If Jesus says you can walk on the water, you can walk on the water. It can believe that. Anyway, we'll get into a lot more of that in the next part. Now, part of me wants to hold back sharing with you the next thing I'm going to share with you. And the reason is because there's a possibility I might fail myself along this journey. And by me sharing what I'm about to share, you'll know if I fail, okay? And so part of me goes, no, maybe we ought to hold that back. You know, just we can teach around that, Lord. We don't have to be that transparent. But that's not what he's called me to do. So I'm going to go ahead and share this with you, even though, and I know it's true what I'm about to share, but I may never possess this land myself. I may fall along the way. I may falter. And how you'll know it, how you'll be able to tell it, is that the same works will never be manifested through me. Where the blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and I mean first time, every time, no exceptions. Because that's the mark. That's the goal. All right? So as I was preparing this lesson, there was a little part of old Gary going, you don't know if you ought to share this part, because what if you don't possess it? What if you fail? But see, then I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. My job is to teach the truth that he shows me. And let me just tell you this, the truth will never change just because a man fails. Whether I succeed or whether I fail, at least it will be said that I was a teacher of the body of Christ and I held nothing back from the people. Now, you're ready to hear this latest thing that the Lord said to me, and I'm going to share it with you with fear and trembling, okay? Because this one will mark me and anybody else who tries this. Now, this is really fresh. This is March 23rd, just written two weeks ago. And I titled this, How the Kingdom Works. And on that day, I was just, again, doing what I do. Bronk does, Jim does. We just pray and listen. This was after my time of listening to the MP3s while I pray. And I pray a while and I get quiet and listen. I pray and I say, Lord, I'm here. If you want to interpret any of these tongues, if you want to talk to me, I'm here, Lord. And he began to speak. And on that day, he just said one sentence to me. He said, the kingdom functions the way the king says it does and not the way you think it does. That's all he said. I'm going to say it again. The kingdom functions the way the king says it does and not the way you think it does. I see in my thinking, maybe somewhat like what you're thinking, well, I'm thinking the same way the king thinks when it comes to the kingdom. I mean, I've been a believer for zama years. I've been listening to Bronk. I've been listening to Pastor Dave Roberson. I've been listening to that Gary Carpenter guy. Anyway, so what do you mean that the kingdom functions the way the king thinks it does, not the way I think it does? Don't I think the same way as the king? He let me just chew on that for 24 hours. Now, the next morning, again, in prayer, he began speaking again. Now, this is the part that I really hesitated to share because it's going to be measurable, quantifiable by observation. You ready? Here it goes. He says, my son, capital S, my son described how the kingdom of God functions in fine detail. while on earth. If you will follow those instructions, you will have success 100% of the time. The kingdom of God is the most efficient operation in the universe. It does not function by guesswork. It functions by spiritual law, which can be relied upon with absolute confidence. Boy, when he said that, it functions by spiritual law, I'd like saw in my mind, spiritual law equals kingdom law. And I went, that's why God sent Jim to teach that lesson at this season. It's a part of this understanding. The kingdom of God functions by spiritual law, not by emotions, not by, how did he say it, guesswork, not haphazardly. It functions by law. Doesn't that sound a lot like 100% of the time, first time, every time, no exceptions? Doesn't that sound like it to you? You know, electricity on planet Earth was available from God's perspective from the dawn of time. It was like electricity was always available, but my people perished to have electricity for a lack of knowledge. It was always available. It was always here. The power that's in electricity was always here. But it took a long time for man to acquire the knowledge of how to capture it, can I say it that way, harness it, store it, transmit it, to design machines and tools and phones and computers and different things that would work with it. But the law, can I say it this way, the law of electricity was in the earth the whole time. Power to do so many things. But it took a long time for man to learn how to harness that power. But now electricity works by physical law. When you plug a fan into the outlet, do you expect the fan, when you hit, you know, then turn the fan on, do you expect that electricity to power that fan every time? Or maybe it works this time and maybe not the next time. And I'm feeling pretty good today. That fan will probably work. I'm not feeling so good today. That fan probably won't work today. You know, I spoke ugly to Fred yesterday. A fan probably won't work. I could go on and on. Ridiculous, isn't it? Why? Because electricity functions by natural law. And it works 100% of the time. Well, at least in our country. Unless there's a thunderstorm or something. But even that's according to law. Okay. Even the disruptions are happening because of the law, physical law. But the point is this, that law of electricity doesn't change. The laws that govern it don't change. And it works 100% of the time. First time, every time, no exceptions. Plug in a fan, plug in a computer, plug in a heater, plug in whatever it is. And electricity is going to work the same way every single time. Well, he's saying the kingdom of God, it functions by spiritual law. So God sends Jim Martin with a series titled Kingdom Law. And the end result of that lesson is basically the kingdom of God functions by spiritual law, and it is a law. The foundation that he used, the foundational verse that Jim used all through that series was Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And it's a law. It works every time because it's a law. It's not guesswork because it's a law. So much. Listen, let's go for the gold. Let's go for it. See, I'm marked now because I know the truth. I know the truth. I know what's possible now. I was praying with you Friday night. Sue and I were, like Dave would say, we were milking every cell in our body for faith. I wanted Homer going home seeing. I wanted Rosie going home completely free of everything. And each and every one of you, I don't know the details on each and every one of you, but I want Homer off of that dialysis machine. And there's other things in my own household that things that we're standing for. We didn't see the instant manifestation. I'm not saying nothing happened. I think something did happen, and it's still working. But we all know we didn't see the instant manifestation the way the Lord has been telling us to expect it. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to soothe ourselves with false doctrine that, oh, we know we prayed in faith, so it must not be God's will to heal every time. No. We're going to leave the mark right where Jesus left it. The works that I do, you're going to do them also. Each and every one of you, because you're each a soldier in the army. You're going to have your own carbine. You're going to have your own rations. You're going to have your own weapons of warfare. And when he sends us into the battlefield, we're going to win every single time. You know, when they opened up the gates after World War II and they come to the Holocaust camps where there were still some people that hadn't been killed yet. They didn't let just some of the prisoners go, did they? You can go, but you got to stay. You can go, but you got to stay. They set them all free. How Jesus went about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And that's exactly what we're going to do. The same works. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him and God is with us. Well, I don't know about you. I preach myself happy and crying at the same time. God help us. Father, I pray for myself and I pray for the people and I pray for everybody watching. God, don't be so nice to us. Love us. I know you can't help but love us, but Lord, bring us. Bring us into the fullness of this. Put us in boot camp. Have us run through our paces. Have us do whatever we need to do. If I need to go through that lesson again and make notes, because maybe I missed something this time. Lord, whatever we need, the prayer, the fasting, whatever it is, Lord, the word and worship, whatever, we don't care. Put us through the boot camp, your boot camp, so that we come out doing the same works. We're tired of being believers that don't believe. Jesus, we declare first off, because this is the promised land we will possess. Jesus, we believe. We believe, Lord. And really, you said that is the work of God, that we believe on him, on you, Lord, whom God has sent. And Lord, we know he sent you the word into our hearts. This revival comes from the inside out, not from heaven down. You're in us already on earth, and you will bring this revival forth from the kingdom that is within us. We don't totally understand that, but we understand a little. Bring us into the fullness, Lord. Help us. I feel like the man that brought his lunatic son. Lord, we all believe. Help us with our unbelief. Bring us the rest of the way in it. Thank you for sending Jim. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending Jim with that law. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bronk, I can't go on. I'm through. I'm through, Bronk. I love you all so much. I love you. Those that might be watching that I haven't met, I love you too. We just haven't met yet. Okay, Bronk, I'm really done. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Thanks so much, Gary. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Robert, can you just... Hallelujah. Can we just worship just a few moments together and just receive this? Let the soaking of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Stand with me, please. Just begin to lift your voice and just begin to receive. Jesus, would you tell him you want this? I want this, Jesus. You as an individual. This word came straight from heaven. Jesus, right now. Impregnate our spirits with it more than ever before, Lord. Don't let us get away with anything, Jesus. Don't be good to our flesh. Don't let us get away. We have an assignment. Lord, I will not quit. Would you tell him I won't quit? I won't quit. Tell Jesus, I will not stop. I will. Jesus, lift your voice, lift your hands and praise him. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. De la baron de la caresse la caratia la caresse. Vera calasiora caresse. Just pray in the spirit for just a few moments. Bere caresse la caresse la caresse la caresse de dietala. Roda de bere caridia sora caresse de caresse de. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Worship you. Hallelujah. So to all of our friends around the world and any place in the United States and everyone in here, we appreciate so much Gary being with us this morning. But mostly the word of God that came straight to us by his ministry this morning. If there's anything that I desire is, and you kind of, as Gary said, you put yourself out for this, whether it be for success or failure. But we will have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return in fullness. And the kingdom works 100% of the time, every time, first time, all the time. One more time. I'm not going to give an altar call, but right there where you're at, you as an individual, whether in the home or in here, just begin to just one more time, just commune with him. Whatever he's asking from you individually, I know he wants me to go back and listen to all those messages that he spoke in February. But there's so much more that he wants from every single one of us. Would you just say yes to Jesus? Just listen for a moment, Jesus. Just pray in the Spirit. Worship him, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Whatever you want, Jesus. Whatever you want, Jesus. Whatever you want, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Whatever you want, Jesus. Whatever you want, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Gary, we love you. God bless. Amen. The rest of you, may the Lord bless you, shine his face upon you, keep you, and bring you back once again. Go into God. Immokalee's in revival. Amen. How many would love to see Gary a couple more times this year? At least. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll see you on Wednesday night. He'll be here. Hallelujah. All right. God bless. You are dismissed. Amen.